There is a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy says to Snoopy, "You know, Snoopy, there are times when you really bug me. But I must admit, there are other times when I feel like giving you a big hug." And Snoopy looks at her and says to himself, and you know, he got the little bubbles going out of Snoopy's head because Snoopy can't talk, right? Snoopy says to himself, "That's the way I am. Huggable and buggable." And we are too. We can be the sweetest and easiest to get along with, or we can be a bear, a real ugly bear. Sometimes it's real easy for you and I to be around each other. Other times, our differences, our ways seem too staggering for us to get along. All of Romans 14 and the first part of Romans 15 takes up this issue. It's teaching concerning how you and I, as followers of Christ, are to treat another. Principles and truths regarding getting along and how we are to love one another. It is teaching that recognizes we sometimes bug each other. We do. But it's what we do with that is to set us apart from a world that also bugs the other, but oftentimes wants to tear the other apart. We know we are not always going to agree. And the Apostle Paul spoke about that in the first verse of Romans 14, what he labeled disputable matters. But if those matters don't concern the core essentials of what it means to be Christian, of what it means to belong to Christ, of what the gospel, the very elements of the gospel, well then, we are to accept, support, and love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That theme continues this morning. More teaching about loving one another. Even, or maybe we should say, especially when we disagree. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for this scripture. It's hard scripture. For we know as we read it, we have to bow our head and say, "My goodness, I'm not doing real good with this one." Father, we pray that you would have your way. We pray, Lord, that the teaching from your word would be faithful. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would move upon us and that we would hear. Amen. Romans chapter 14 this day, as we continue preaching through the book of Romans. I am going to back up this morning. Sometimes I do this for context purposes. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 12. I want to back up, however, to the first verse. "Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another, another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God." And now our text for the morning. "For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God.' So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Verse 7 starts us off. "For none of us lives to himself alone, none of us dies to himself alone." It was the 17th century poet and pastor John Donne who wrote, "No man is an island." And maybe you're familiar with this this quotation, but most probably stop right there with familiarity. Let him continue. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece. If a clod, a dirt clod, be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. Now, when the Apostle Paul compares the church to the human body, we heard John read that from 1 Corinthians 12, he says the same. That is, in concluding, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, if we really understood this truth, if we really understood it, we would better understand that everything good or bad affects the whole. So when I hurt a fellow member of the church, for instance, at some level, obviously, I hurt Christ. It's His church. But I hurt everybody, including myself. For none of us lives to himself alone, the Apostle says in our text. Now remember, the Apostle is talking about getting along. And when we remember that we are connected to each other, one organism, if you will, we are less likely to respond in mean-spirited ways. We mentioned that the church is often referred to being like a human body. Well, if the hand decides to wallop the big toe with a hammer, the entire body is going to be affected. The hand may not have realized it at the time, but now there is a pretty good chance that the foot can't take the hand, or the hand may want to go. Toe's in a cast. The whole body is affected. But there's another message here in this verse, and it's the ones that follow it. In fact, the emphasis of these verses really highlights the fact that we, as Christians, belong to the Lord. And when that fact is acknowledged or recalled, it certainly is going to impact our behavior. Impact our behavior toward our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. For you and I, for we do not live to ourselves alone. Nor do we die to ourselves alone. What the Scripture is saying that as Christians, we desire to honor the Lord in our life, and we will desire to honor Him in our death. And both groups who were mentioned in verses 1 through 6 last time, the weak, who liked only vegetables and wanted to celebrate one day over another, and the strong, who liked all kinds of food and who celebrated all days as good, if both remember that both groups belong to the Lord in this life and the next, well, don't you think that that's going to really help us put our minor divisions over disputable matters into perspective? That in the entire scheme of things, your commitment to carrot sticks and zucchini and my love affair with a half-pound hamburger with greasy bacon shouldn't put us at odds. For what ultimately matters is that both of us belong to the Lord. And both of us want to please Him in this life, in the next. And because the same precious blood of Christ that purchased me is the same precious blood of Christ that purchased you, accepting, supporting, and loving you is not for me or for you. This not only supplies us, or not only applies to us adult type people, listening to our younger folk. And I want to do a quick little add in here. Particularly to our high school kids. Sunday, I'm going to be your Sunday school teacher. And I'm looking forward to it. So a couple weeks ago, I started putting down the names of those who would be in that class. And we have 14 9th through 12th graders. And on that list, I'm not sure we could have assembled a more diverse group of kids. I don't think we could have. We have every group, if you will, and every kind of kid there. You guys, I'll be honest with you, as your pastor, you don't have a lot in common. You don't. Except the most important thing. Christ purchased each of you. He reached down out of the mass of humanity and saved you one by one. And because He did, you are brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, I know some of you like sports. Do you want me to list those who do? Some of you like music. Some of cars. Some of you like clothes. Some of you like rock. Some of you like rap. Whatever. 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 But all of you belong to the Lord, and that's enough to deal with the differences. You may never have thought this way before, but in the scope of eternity, hear this, you, teens, diverse teens that you are, have more in common with a fellow Christian teen who likes different things than you have in common with a non-Christian who likes all your same stuff. Really? Not messing with you here. When it comes down to it, earthly relationships are short-term relationships. Relationships with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, eternal ones. But more than that, and I think this will become clearer to you the more you mature, you will discover as you grow older that the most important thing when you hang out with someone isn't whether or not they are like you. You will discover that the most important thing is whether or not they belong to the Lord. Because this is what you will discover. You will find that there is a worldview attached to our faith. A biblical worldview. And when that is there, you enjoy fellowship whether they are, quote, like you or not with that person. But when the worldview is different than someone, you will find that relationship, especially over time, to be more and more difficult. So that's my commercial. For you not to focus on each other's outward differences, but rather enjoy your one great similarity. You each belong to Christ, and therefore enjoy one another. Back to our text, verses 8 and 9. Reiterates the same as verse 7. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. And knowing that you and I share that we both belong to the Lord in this life as well as the next, will encourage us, here's those three words again, to accept, support, and love one another, even in the midst of our differences, regarding those matters that are, as we called them last time, gray. Because the essential thing, knowing Christ, is far more important than any non-essential thing. Length of hair, skin color, tattoos, alcohol use, eating habits, and so on. Now, does that mean the Lord doesn't have an opinion about these matters? Yes, He does. But you and I, from His Word, we can have God-honoring opinions about what we believe to be the teaching of Scripture. In fact, we're supposed to have those, and we better have those. We'll talk more about that next time. But in matters that the Apostle Paul calls disputable, because they were not the core essentials of the gospel. Love one another, he says. Love one another. We belong to each other. We need each other. There is no time to let the smaller issues detract from realizing and experiencing that truth. So why not accept, support, love our brothers and sisters in Christ who are also trying to serve the Lord as best they know how? And there's another big reason we should. That's in verses 10 through 12. You then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now there's a good reason right there. To get along, each of us will before God and have to give an account on why we didn't. Now, this isn't referring to the non-believer's judgment, the judgment where he shall be cast to hell for failure to keep God's holy law. Rather, this is the believer's judgment where we will have to give an account. An account of what? Well, what's going on? What is God going to hold us Christians accountable to? Verse 10 answers part of that answer. Why did you judge your brother? Why did you look down on your brother? And knowing that those two questions right there, at the very least, are going to be asked of us, doesn't that encourage us not to worry about the petty differences that you or I may have? Past week about this text, and the comment was made, well, my life just got a whole lot simpler because I can just worry about my own shortcomings now. And my deep theological response was, yep. Given the fact that we are not always going to agree, let's look more closely on how we can do a better job of getting along, accepting, supporting, and loving our fellow brother and sister in Christ. Okay. Conclusion here. Application. Let's get a little more specific. Perhaps, though, before we do that, you're still a little concerned about standing before God and being judged. Most of you were at Warren's memorial service. Many of you were at his graveside. And there, hopefully, you heard very clearly that as Warren stood before a holy God, he did not stand there alone. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "This one's mine. I purchased him. He belongs to me." So we're not talking in terms of salvation issues here. We're not talking about that at all. But however, Warren was and did stand before God and was judged. Based on what? Well, as mentioned, Christians regarding our eternal destination, no, that's already been fully taken care of. That's not what our judgment is going to be about. If God has already Jesus, and He has, for our sins, and already credited our account with Jesus' righteousness, He's not going to require more judgment for your sin or more righteousness from you. You and I, as believers, are eternally secure. But what of this issue of believers standing before the Lord? There are many texts that we could bring here, but I chose 1 Corinthians 3 as just very quickly as one that speaks of this. It is different now in regards to the believer standing before God in His judgment. In 1 Corinthians 3 we read, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one he already has." Excuse me, other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. "If any man builds on this foundation..." So he's in Christ. "But if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, return of Christ, judgment, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he'll receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." Now, without devoting any more time here to this little tangent, that which is done by the believer for the Lord, used loans, etc., will be rewarded. That which is not done for him, wood, hay, straw, will not. But back to our focus this morning. Our text discussed two ways for us as believers that we might do a better job of getting along despite our differences. The first is the fact that both of us belong to the Lord. And we're going to go a long way here treating each other the way the Lord would have us treat one another if we simply remembered that fact. We are kin. We share the same Father. If the Lord thought enough of you to spill some of Jesus' blood for you, and He thought enough of me to do the same, well then, you know what? I can put up with your quirkiness, and you can put up with mine. The second is that God is judge, and we are not. In fact, He's going to hold us accountable for inappropriately ascending His judgment seat. That's His throne. It's not ours. And He can do just fine without us. In fact, He does pretty good work. Charles Spurgeon, when preaching on this text, put both of these reasons, the two that we're looking at, together in one paragraph. "If we must judge, certainly it should not be those who are linked to us by the ties of spiritual relationship. Are not all believers one family in Christ? We belong to the Lord." There's the first. "Wherever the root of the matter is to be found, together exists an overwhelming argument for undying unity," he preached that day. Why then will you take your brother by the throat and drag him before your judgment seat? That's two now, the second reason. And make him answer to you, brother to brother, then condemn him. Shall a brother in Christ condemn a brother in Christ? When the outside world censures the Christian, we understand it. For they hated our master and they'll hate us. But inside the charmed circle of Christian communion, there should be esteem for one another. A defending of each other. We should be anxious to apologize for infirmity than to discover imperfection. Far be it from us to find flaws where they do not exist. And if they do exist, most of the time, as we saw last time, with the roles that God has given us, there's a very good chance it's none of our business. I'll bring in James Montgomery Boyce here on that one. Most of us are guilty of this inappropriately judging our brother and sister in Christ. And it's one of the most harmful things that takes place in Christian churches. We think that because there are standards to be maintained, we must be snooping out the shortcomings of others. We're not called to do this. If you are worried about standards, make sure you live up to them yourself. Or let the people God has appointed to deal with them, the elders in a local church, let them do the shepherding work. Condensed and paraphrased, Boyce is saying this about judging others. Christians regarding gray, non-essential issues, here it is. Boyce is saying, knock it off. Back to the judgment seat of Christ for a minute, where we will all have to give an account. Jesus says in Matthew 12, it's another verse that we could have drawn more into this whole discussion. There he talks in terms of every careless word that you or I have spoken that he's going to bring up. And we've just been told what is careless. It is to judge our Christian brother or sister regarding non-essential matters. Now again, remember the context here. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote Galatians and when he wrote Colossians, said some very strong things. He said those things because those were core issues. Core gospel issues. He's talking not about those here, though. He's talking about what he called disputable matters. And in these non-essential matters, as the Apostle Paul labeled them in 14:1, and don't we have enough things in our life, by the way, to keep us busy? And aren't people helped more by a loving example than by a critical spirit anyway? The answer is yes to both of those. I want to close with a scenario, an upcoming scenario, by the way, in your life and mine. Imagine for a moment what some of the dialogue from Christ directed to you, to me, is going to be like on that day. Jesus looks at you and inquires, "Answer me this, child. Why did you look down on Harry?" Or if you want to insert Harriet, feel free. "So much. Yeah, I made him different than you. Can't I do that? When the Father created the world, we didn't want everybody the same. When I breathed my spirit into you and made you in my image, did you think that I could only create people one way? Just like you? Come on! There's so much of me I wanted to express in people. So many gifts and abilities and likes and dislikes to dole out. I wasn't going to limit myself to just one kind of person. Got too much creativity to do that. I like how I made you. But I also like how I made Harry. So anytime you put Harry down, you put me down. You not only judged him, you judged me. So what do you have to say about that?" Gulp. I want to be careful here. I don't want to put words in God's mouth that He has not given me directly, obviously, to speak. My little scenario above isn't Holy Spirit inspired like the Scriptures. But I think I'm being pretty faithful here to the text, the teaching of the text regarding what is being said and regarding to what Romans 14 is getting at. Accept, support, and love your fellow brother and sister in Christ. And we will do more of that if we remember that we and they belong to the Lord in this life and in the next, and that one day we will give an account to God. We will be judged by Him regarding how well and or poorly we did in this matter. This is hard for us. Perhaps it is why the Apostle Paul spends so much time on this topic. In fact, the rest of Romans 14, half of Romans 15, continues this subject of how we as Christians are to treat our fellow Christian. Let's keep listening. Let's keep learning. For Christ's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is much more to be said here regarding this topic, and perhaps there's now more questions, the what ifs, and etc. It is why there's so much that has been smatter. Father, we pray that we would continue to march our way through it. This morning, taking a peek, a little peek at how we are to do that and why we are to do that. We belong to each other. We belong to you. And we will be held accountable in this matter. Father, we pray that you would help us think through this scripture. Father, we pray that you would help us do more than that. We pray, Lord, that you would impress upon us our need not to be a busybody in other people's lives regarding disputable matters. Father, help us to keep the big picture in accepting and supporting. Next time, we'll look at when we speak and when we should and how we should to those, and even discussing these disputable matters. But Lord, we pray this lesson would be for us this day. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would you take out your hymnal one more time? This time to hymn 395, Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. Let's remain seated as we sing hymn 395.